During our Shravan Kirtan camp, one old woman was attending, and she said to me, via you, because she said to me, via you, you were translating. She spoke in Telugu, which I don't understand. That she desired to merge into the lotus feet of the Lord. Which to some people might sound very devotional, but to those who have studied Srila Prabhupada's books and heard Srila Prabhupada's message can understand that this is an impersonal idea. It's not true bhakti. But something of bhakti is there. I mean, she herself probably thinks that it's devotional. And she has some attraction to bhakti. She came to our program. So she has some attraction to bhakti and to devotees. But it's not in the pure devotional line. There are many examples of people who are attracted to devotional service for ulterior reasons. Well, Srila Prabhupada would speak of ulterior motives. That means that they look like they're coming for bhakti. Bhakti means to serve the Lord. But they have some other desire which they don't show very prominently. Or in some cases they do. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chatur vidha bhajante manjana sukritena arjuna. Arto jignyasur artharti jnani cha bharatarshava. Four kinds of pious people begin to worship me, Krishna says. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the curious, and the person in knowledge. And Krishna says, Udara sarava evaite jnani tvatmaiva me matam. He says that they're all good, these people, but the best is the jnani. Jnani here means Jnanavan, what is that? Bahunam janmanamante Jnanavan mamprapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. One who after many lives of cultivating a search for the truth finally comes to understand that the truth is Krishna and therefore surrenders to him. Whereas others have some other motive. They're distressed. They're praying to Krishna, help me, I'm distressed. I want money. These two categories often overlap. And the curious, someone who's, they have some attraction to Krishna, but they're not really interested in the beginning in surrendering to Krishna, but they have some attraction or they want to find out what it's all about. Often in the Western countries, when we have festivals or do Harinam Sankirtan, or sometimes when a devotee is just walking around the street doing something, going to purchase something or whatever. If they're dressed in devotee clothes, then people know there's something different. Then people may come up and ask, "Hey, what's this all about? Anyway, what are you doing?" So that's a curiosity. So they have some attraction to Krishna, even though in the beginning their attraction is that, what can I get from Krishna? But if, particularly when they start to accept that Krishna is superior to me, Krishna can help me, a distressed person approaches Krishna, give me some help, then that is, even though not in a completely, a long way from being a pure motive, it's the beginning of bhakti, because they have accepted the principle of subordination, not the principle of surrender. Or there may be artificial surrender, that I, just like we find even the demons, they would sometimes perform great austerities to supplicate a demigod. But that was the idea, that was time serving. Srila Prabhupada calls that, I believe he got that term from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, time serving devotion. You do it until you get the result, and then you forget. Just like in the Hindu system, you have a temporary puja. You call Ganesh, you make a deity of Ganesh, and then when the puja is over, throw him in the sea, in Bombay, in the river, somewhere else. Time-serving devotion. Or people, they make a vow to Tirupati Balaji, and then they get their vow fulfilled, and then they go there and shave their head or whatever. When they say, if you fulfill my desire, the women especially, they'll shave their head, which is a big sacrifice for women. And then they do it, and then that's it. Okay, deal finished. As you see, it's just like you sell a house to someone, you take the money, and then you don't need to have anything more to do with that person. You've done your bit, he's done his bit, and it's all finished. However, the fact is that Krishna is attractive, and by approaching him, people do become attracted, and if they get something from him, they may want more also. Think, well, Krishna arranged this, you can arrange something more. It's a good deal. And by doing so, they may come in contact with Krishna through his devotees who preach. Real devotees don't preach that Krishna will help you in this way and that way. They may do, as occasionally, but their main thrust is surrender to Krishna. Hear Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. There's no happiness in this material world. Surrender to Krishna. So by hearing that, people may gradually become purified. Another factor is that once people get an attraction to hearing about Krishna, well, they become attracted to Krishna, because hearing about Krishna is very pleasing. Satam prasanga mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata. No, that's not the verse. Anyway, this is a good verse. Tadjoshanad ashva pavargavatnani shadharatir bhaktir anukramishati. Hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, hearing about his glories, that is very soothing or pleasing to the ear and the heart. And one advances on the path of liberation by doing so. And gradually one develops faith in Krishna, then attraction to Krishna, and ultimately actual bhakti to Krishna. So, hearing about Krishna and Rama, especially these two avatars, is central to Indian culture. I said Krishna avatar, well, he's also, in one sense, an avatar. Yes, he's an avatar. He's avatari and he's avatar, both. So, in some parts, Nrsimha also, north of here, and in south, Orissa, many people, they are specifically devotees of Nrsimha. So, hearing about the Lord, even from non-devotees, some attraction is there. Just like we have the North India, the religious culture over the last several centuries in the Hindi-speaking area, what can broadly be called the Hindi-speaking area, although there are hundreds of languages spoken in that area, that has two... A very major influence in the religious culture of North India over the last few hundred years has been Ramcharitmanas. And although people do not get a pure conception of worship of Ram from that, generally people come out with an impersonal idea. Now that's maybe partially due to the author, or maybe partially due to the Ramanandi Sampradaya, which has come up, which focuses on that. But that kind of idea would be there, that you worship Ram and then ultimately you merge into the lotus feet of Ram, something like that. So that's not pure devotion, that's Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But you can't say there's no devotion, there's a feeling of. Oh, yeah. There's something there. Attraction to Rama is there. I'm told there's regularly on the television in Telugu, there's a speaker who's a complete smarta Mayavadi type who speaks on Ram Leela. But it's so attractive that even many Muslims watch it, what to speak of Hindus. So some attraction is there. When this Ramayan TV serial came out in the 1980s, the whole of India just stopped for 1 hour or whatever it was, because everyone was watching it and it was so popular. So the very nature of Ram and Krishna is attractive, and so people become attracted. They may, yeah, bhakti, what is that attraction? That is bhakti ras, although it may not be pure bhakti ras. That may be karma mishra bhakti ras or jnana mishra bhakti ras. But still, bhakti ras is there. Karma mishra bhakti ras means there's a feeling of love for Rama but wanting material benefit from him. Or jnana mishra bhakti ras, a feeling of attraction to Rama and Krishna, but expecting to merge into him, not with the ultimate aim of serving him and surrendering to him. But there's an improper understanding. But something is there. Just like if we preach about bhakti in India, in general, even though people have a misunderstanding of that term, because what they take to be bhakti is karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti. But at least they have some idea of what it is. If we speak about Krishna and bhakti in non-Hindu cultures, in the West for instance, you really have to start with ABC. I mean, bhakti, often Srila Prabhupada wouldn't even speak of bhakti when he spoke with people. He just tried to get them to understand that you're not the body. The body is temporary and the soul is eternal. The first teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So it's a mixed bag. On one hand, people who represent Krishna as a product of the impersonal absolute. Well, if they speak about Krishna, then we're told, Avaishnava mokhod girnam putam hari katamritam shravana naiva kartavya sarpo chashtam yathapaya. Not to hear such people, because it's like hearing the nectar of Krishna katha from such people is compared with drinking milk which has been touched by the lips of a poisonous snake. You'll be poisoned by it. You won't be benefited by it. So that's a very strong warning, isn't it? So should we hear or shouldn't we hear? No, we shouldn't hear. We shouldn't hear from people who have mixed perceptions. But there are degrees also. I mean, some speakers on Ram Leela and Krishna Leela, they speak the Leela, but they're actually demons. Because they'll say things like, that after speaking, they'll emphasize the point that ultimately, Krishna, there's no such person as Krishna or such a thing. I remember once I was having an argument with someone in Hubli, because he started telling me, Hubli in Karnataka, This was many years ago. He started telling me about all what he's doing, for helping the poor and this and that. And I said, well, what's the use, ultimately? I mean, you may be very proud of that, but what's the use? You have to help them spiritually. And then he gradually became more angry. And then in the middle, I said that, because he was supposed to be a worshiper of Narayana, and I said, well, look, Narayana says in Bhagavad Gita, and then he came out with, well, Narayana, he's ultimately Nirakari. You know, just like to, you know, just complete, his so-called worship of Narayana was shown to be completely envious, actually, because when he's brought to the point of that you have to accept what he says, then he just tries to wash Narayan out of existence. That, well, he doesn't have any form, he's not really a person, so you don't have to bother what he says. That was the implication of his statement. Just completely envious, actually. Even though he was doing puja to Narayan every day. So, people do get bhakti ras, but, or you could say a perverted reflection of bhakti ras, by hearing from people who do not have a clear conception of what bhakti is. So there's something there, we can say. People do feel attraction, because again, Rama and Krishna, they are attractive. Hearing about Rama, how Dasharath loves him so much, that he's, Dasharath just dies when out of separation from Rama, and how Bharat is so much attached, and Lakshman is so attached, and the love between Sita and Ram. These are fully transcendental topics. The very nature of Rama is Ramante Yogino Nante Satyananda Chiratmani Iti Rama Padena So Parang Brahma Vidhiyate. He is the Supreme Truth who the yogis, the persons on the transcendental platform or aspiring for that, they take pleasure in him. He is true bliss and completely spiritual. So his very nature is that he is attractive. Rama, Krishna, Narsimha, these are all forms of the Supreme Lord. They are attractive. So people do become attracted to them, and there is some bhakti ras there. But it's mixed up. And people, unless they come in association with pure devotees who know the difference, then they don't get to understand the difference. And they're doing bhakti, but they're not really going anywhere. They're not making advancement in bhakti, because actual bhakti means anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. Real bhakti means in which there's no personal desire for anything material or even for merging into the existence of the Lord. That idea shouldn't be there. If that idea is there, then it's not really bhakti at all, or the spirit of bhakti is perverted or not going in the proper direction or not properly fructifying. So it's really the duty of our devotees, as all our acharyas have done, to preach this shuddha bhakti, shuddha bhakti. Yeah, shuddha bhakti. The pure devotion to Krishna. We can expect that if we promote mixed bhakti, that we may get many more people coming. Just like, although we don't consider it to be so, in general estimation, bhakti movements in India include the followers of Amma and Asharam Bapu, and you probably don't know about all these people over here. Amma, maybe she's from the south, but Asharam won't be popular here. Sai Baba, all this kind of thing. It's all included in bhakti, in the general estimation. But bhakti means for Krishna. No one else is the proper vishay, the proper subject of bhakti. Now there may be guru bhakti, that's also there, but only when it's seen that the guru is in relationship to Krishna. Otherwise such a person is not worthy to be a guru anyway. But like this ashram, amma, all this kind of thing, is just based on the person, not on Krishna. It's not, they're not worshipping the guru because they're representative of Krishna, but they think that the guru is God himself, just like they have Prakat Brahma Swarup, who no one ever out of Gujarat ever heard of. But they consider him to be directly God, which is a great mistake. It's very sinful to do so, actually. So this movement should be for preaching pure devotion. Otherwise we can get many people if we tell them that we make personality cults based around the guru. We may say, well, we're worshipping Prabhupada, but Prabhupada always directed people toward Krishna, and that's why we worship him. Because he gave Krishna. Prabhupada never, he didn't make the International Society for Prabhupada consciousness, for Krishna consciousness. And although among his disciples, he taught them to worship him, that's proper, but he didn't promote himself to the public, that people should know me. He promoted Krishna. So, yeah, we may get many followers if we preach a mixed form, just like, you know, ashram and all these. But if you say you can worship all different demigods and do welfare work and all this social work, and then people like it because they're in Maya. And they believe in the possibility of enjoying this material world, and they think that the role of God and the role of gurus is to help you enjoy this material world in a good way. What they call a good way. So we can spread very widely, but then what is the benefit? Just like the Ramananda Sampradaya is spread very widely. Yeah, there's some benefit. But no one gets the actual benefit of pure devotion. Because they have no idea what it is. That's why Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote, Ekas chandrastamo hanti king natara gano picha. One moon is better than millions of stars. Prabhupada said, echoing his own Guru Maharaj, that if he could make one pure devotee, he would consider his mission successful. So there is some bhakti ras, you could say, if it's directed toward Krishna and Rama, then in hearing Ram Charitmanas, or there must be some Telugu version of Ramayana also, I'm not very familiar with that. In Bengal they have Kriti Vas, he made the Bengali Ramayana, which isn't very well known or very popular. Gita Press is trying to popularize it right now. Ram bhakti is not a big thing in Bengal. Then in Tamil Nadu, that Kamban Ramayana is there. There are different editions, but we always emphasize Valmiki Ramayana as the actual edition. Other people, they may be definitely inspired by Lord Ram. It's not that they weren't writing their editions of the Ramayana in the local languages so that they could make a living, like, you know, writing some cartoon script or something. But whether or not they had a pure conception is questionable, or even if they did, the tradition that has come up around them has not been pure. So this pure devotion, it's very precious. The pure bhakti ras, as we find in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the pure bhakti ras, that should be propagated, not this mixed form. Bhakti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hriti vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as there are desires within the heart for material enjoyment or liberation from this world, those desires are like witches. And so where is the question of actually enjoying the bliss of bhakti, actually experiencing the bliss of bhakti? Hare Krishna.